a good old boy. Never mean it no harm. Be told you never saw been in trouble with the law since the day they were born. Straightening the curve.
The shooting bench is making some major changes. Starting the 1st of August, the shooting bench is only going to be on 3 days a week. 3 days? Well, not to worry. I'm going to take a couple of days off and you get an extra hour of listening time.
That's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
Catch the shooting bench now at its regular time on Monday and Wednesday, but for 2 hours. The second hour on Wednesday will be all gun talk, outdoor stuff. Your extra hour comes in on Friday, where we start at 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 Eastern, and run for 3 hours. An hour to catch up on news and current events, and Liberty Lounge at its regular time. Join me for the shooting bench right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
I'm a good old boy. You know my mama loved me. But you don't understand. They keep on showing my hands and not my face on TV.
The number of people looking to buy firearms is up nearly 50% compared to 2007, according to the FBI.
In the month of November, our gun sales were probably comfortably 250% of what an average month is.
All in favor of losing your rights? Please do nothing.
I gotta get me back. I can't be beat, and that's a fact. It's okay. Find a way. It ain't gonna take me down no way. Yeah.
This rally is not about guns. But what these guns that everybody's gonna wear represent is the true badge of the free man. That he can bear arms in defense of himself without permission from anyone. And that's what these arms represent.
Gun laws in the U.S. vary by state, and the amount of regulation is a hot button political issue.
Can't take me, I'm free.
You have associated two U.S. senators and associating them or comparing them to terrorists. I said, well, they are.
Can't take me.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
You can't take me, I'm free.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. Okay, it's the day we've been waiting for. Last day of the week's Friday, the 26th of August. Month is about used up. I hope you guys have a great weekend planned here. And welcome to the shooting bench, by the way. And we've got some cleanup to do here, and we don't want to get into any of our too much ugly stuff anyway. We always try to start the weekend out on a little bit of a lighter note with Liberty Lounge, which will be coming up immediately after this hour of the Shooting Bench. And so to start with, let me tell you, we have a class coming up in Moriarty, New Mexico, a month from this weekend, more or less. It's the 23rd, 24th, and 25th of September. And we'll probably get a couple of other classes in September also. We're looking at doing a community organization class. Now, that's not a community organizer like Osama. It's organizing during, after a collapse scenario, disaster scenario of some type. And for those that may be interested, I have written a small book on that. It's our Community Emergency Response Preparedness Training Manual. And they are available. We're still waiting for them to get the binding done on them. But if you want the PDF version of it, it's available for $10. Just go to our website and to our podcast site and scroll down through the podcast till you get to the Community Emergency Response Preparedness Training Manual. And just go through the... Now, it's a little bit confusing for some folks to get that done. You've got to click on it, go through and pay for it, and when you do, you'll get an email, and in that email will be a password. And you use that password to download the PDF. Once you download the PDF, it is yours to keep. Obviously, I would prefer that you not share that with everybody. That's how what little bit of income we have coming in around here is due to books and training and whatnot. And so, or the, you can wait for the bound manual. It's another $3. It's $12.95. They'll be available. The books are available. They're just, they haven't been bound yet. So stand by for that, and we'll let you know. Let's see. We got Labor Day weekend coming up next weekend, first of the month. It's not on the first. What is the actual date of Labor Day here? Let me check and see. It will be on the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, I reckon. So we won't be doing anything that weekend. Third weekend I have to keep free, the 17th, at least for now. So if I have any other, I won't be doing any more classes either. Because I've got two different events that I need to attend on the 10th. They're both shooting events. So, I guess the one at the end of the month, unless I do something through the week, is going to be the only thing we have going in September. So, there you have it. All right, let's get into this here. This kind of astonished me here. Many of you have heard of Hunter Thompson, Hunter S. Thompson. He's a writer. He's not nearly as successful as some of the rest of them, but he's written a lot of stuff. And I just found out, this story just came out day before yesterday, 3 days ago. Hunter Thompson died here... let's see. See if I can find the year. Anyway, he had visited Ernest Hemingway back in 19... I guess I should have got all these dates ready before I got there. Hemingway died in 1961. And during a visit to the home of Hemingway's home in 1964, just 3 years after he died, Hunter S. Thompson stole a pair of elk antlers, took them home, hung them in his house, where they sat for 52 years. Thompson died in 2005. And his widow has decided here just recently to return these to the Hemingway home. Now, if you look at the, if you read the story, it says huge set of elk antlers. Well, they weren't. It was they were barely even below average. They weren't big at all. But for someone that's never seen an elk, I guess would be standing there holding them. They look like a huge set of elk antlers. But anyway, I found that to be kind of interesting, a little disappointing actually. You know, you have somebody that that writes well, and you look at his outdoor stories, and you expect them to be in you know, a little better, behaved than that. But I guess it happens sometimes. So. There's a couple of doomsday things. We'll wait on that. There's a story here on, and this one just came out, I think, yesterday. Let me dig it back up here. But this is a, Under Armour. Under Armour folks. They have apparently pulled a Jim Zumbo. If you guys remember Zumbo, he did this story here years ago. It was when I was in Wyoming. I actually lived not too far from where he lived. And he lived in, no, when that story came out, I'd already moved. He lived right outside of Cody, Wyoming. Really, really nice house out west of Cody, and a big, nice log cabin with huge plate glass windows and whatnot in the front. And anyway, he wrote the story about the AR-15 being not exactly suitable for hunting, and didn't know why we needed them and all that stuff. And that was the end of Jim Zumbo. People dropped him, all of his big sponsors, Remington, Winchester, the ammunition guys, the everybody. Even if they weren't gun related, if they were outdoor related, related to hunting and whatnot, everybody dropped him. He was an overnight crash. One day he was a failure. And Uncle Ted Nugent, come along here a few weeks after this happened and took him out and educated him and say, see, this is what AR-15s do. They're no different than any other semi-automatic rifle. They are suitable for hunting, especially varmints and whatnot. And so Jim Zumbo all of a sudden magically saw the light, and he come back and apologized and told the whole story about that and wrote another article about it, but it didn't fly. He was DOA right there. And Under Armour has done the same thing. Under Armour, there was a guy that killed a bear with a spear, which I thought was rather awesome. You know, they gripe and say, well, if you're a real hunter, why don't you go out and hunt them like the caveman did, like the Indians did? You know, go out and why do you have to use a gun and murder him? Well, so this guy did. He put a GoPro camera on a spear and skewered a black bear, pretty good size, pretty decent little bear. And so Under Armour thought this was barbaric, and they dropped his wife, who the husband, the guy, didn't even have anything to do with Under Armour. They dropped his wife as a, I'm not sure what she was, a model or a writer or whatever she did. Anyway, they dropped her. And they immediately felt the sting. They had been Zumboed right there. And people are dropping them, you know, sponsors, not sponsors, but advertisers and people that are, you know, customers, they're writing them nasty grams and saying they'll never buy anymore, burning their stuff online. They're taking their current Under Armour stuff that they own already, which I think is kind of dumb, but if you've already spent the money on it and you own it, then there's no use doing it. But they're burning it on YouTube. And so I think that Under Armour has made a a huge mistake here. They have, let's see, the girl's name is Sarah Bomar. Her husband killed the bear with a spear. They've ended, they sponsored her. That's what it was. She wasn't working for them. They sponsored her. And so anyway, they have, of course, there was a lot of outrage for the killing of the bear. Okay, that's to be expected. That's like the young girl, 12 years old, that killed the giraffe here recently. And we'll get into that later, but... anyway, they said that the bosses at the company there said they were left incensed after watching Josh and Sarah Bomar leaving the animal to die an excruciating death. I don't know about that. I watched the video and I didn't think they left him to die an excruciating death, but, he said that the spokeswoman there said Under Armour is ending its relationship with the wife of Josh Bomar. The method used to harvest this animal was reckless, and we do not condone it. I'll tell you what, son, if you can kill a bear with a spear, I'm not gonna say a word about it. Said Under Armour is dedicated to the hunting community and supports hunting that is conducted in compliance with applicable federal, state, and local laws and hunting practices that ensure a responsible and safe harvest of the animal. Well, all laws were adhered to. There is no law where he was at against killing a bear with a spear. And so he was totally within his rights, within his legal rights there. His wife, they say, is a, quote, an Under Armour-sponsored athlete. So, let's see, Under Armour and the Bomars broke up today. I'll do a blog post in a few days. Well, anyway, we'll see what happens with, this is brand new. This is just coming out here, like, right away quick. So, as it gets more press here, and then we'll see how bad this hurts Under Armour, then we'll let everybody know here. And I think under Sarah Bomar, I believe, is a what they sponsor for. I think she's an archer. Well, I know she's an archer. There's a video over here. And I suppose that's what the sponsorship of Under Armour was about. Anyway, all right. Well, let's move on. We got other things. We only got an hour to get this done. I'm going to make some phone calls Monday. I got to call a school, and I got to call a police station. I'm going to call the Fort Bend police. And let's see, what is the name of this school here? Krista McAuliffe Middle School. This is not just one stupid person. This is a whole gaggle of retards. This is a little bundle in this town of mental midgets here. A 13-year-old girl, 8th grader, tried to spend a $2 bill at lunch at this middle school, and she was detained and threatened with a felony. And that's not all. This had to go all the way to the bank to get solved. Folks, what I'm telling you is there was not a freaking adult in this school. There was not a grown-up at the police station that knew that $2 bills are still in circulation and okay to use. This was the Fort Bend police who continued with this idiocy had to be involved. And besides the fact that this was $2, okay? It wasn't like a grand theft larceny. It was a $2 bill. The little girl said, I went to the lunch line and they said my $2 bill was fake. They gave it to the police. Then they sent me to the police office. The police officer said I could be in big trouble. Not just big trouble, a third degree felony type trouble. And school called the little girl's grandmother, I guess, to come pick her up. I don't know. She said she's never in trouble. She's nervous going in there. This is what she told the TV station. The official said, did you give this girl, we'll call her Denise. Did you give Denise a $2 bill for lunch? He told me it was fake. Then the Fort Bend, school district police investigated the $2 bill with the same type of drama that you would find in episode of Dragnet here. Even though at that school, 82% of the kids are poor enough to get free or reduced price lunch, the alleged theft of $2 worth of chicken tenders led to a campus officer, salary averaging $45,000 a year, to the convenience store that gave grandma the $2 bill. So now apparently they're gonna take down the store that gave her the counterfeit $2 bill, which wasn't counterfeit. Just the facts, ma'am. Then the cop went to the bank, had them examine the $2 bill. And lo and behold, the mystery at that point was solved. At least the bank knew what a $2 bill was. Can you believe that? The bill went from the lunch lady to the school officials. Obviously, the principals and I guess they have two principals there, had to know the cops were involved. So it went from the school officials, from the lunch lady to the school officials, to the cops, who took it to the convenience store, and then to the bank. Are you following me here? Are you catching all this? I can't believe there are that many stupid people congregated in one small place. They had to go through the bank so they could explain that there actually was such a thing as a $2 bill. Now, if it's a $3 bill, I can understand that. But it was a $2 bill. Every damn one of them ought to be fired and sent to remedial training here. But anyway, so all of this trouble and the little girl missed her lunch. If I was that little girl's grandma or dad or uncle or granddad, I don't know what her family situation is, but I'll guarantee you there would be some hell raised. They say this is one of 8 counterfeiting charges investigated by this school district since 2013. So maybe they had some other $2 bills out there, or maybe some those little dollar, the gold coins, little Susan B. Anthony dollars or something like that. I don't know. No apology yet. This, how nice. Phone number. Okay, here we go. Write this down. Here's the phone number for the middle school. 281, if you decide you want to call. Don't get ugly with them. It's all right to call them retards, but you don't have to get these foul language and stuff with them. But the number here for the middle school is 281-634-3360, just in case you decide to call and see if there are any grown-ups running the school. The principal's name is Mary Brewster, and that is Mary, conventional spelling, Mary dot Brewster at fortbendisd.com. The 8th grade principal is James Kirkpatrick. James.Kirkpatrick at fortbendisd.com. Fort is spelled out fortbendisd.com. Superintendent there, Charles Dupree. That is Charles.Dupree, D-U-P-R-E, at fortbendisd.com. And I don't have any contact information for the police department there, but I will be looking it up probably tonight. And I'll be calling them first thing Monday. Okay. Well, we're going to play a little song about a foot long here. Take a little short break.
I'll be back. He's a double XL.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, welcome back on this fine Friday to the Shooting Bench, and another half hour we'll be diving into Liberty Lounge. I hope you all will stay with me for that. And bring your friends, bring your neighbors, bring your relatives, bring your bring your everybody you can think of, and let's listen to some good old classic country music here in a little bit. Okay, let's go. I hope everybody got all the numbers and everything you needed. If you decide that you would like to express your displeasure, your dismay at the idiocy of these people. Okay, let's see here. There's some good gun stuff. And by the way, speaking of gun stuff, this, the next Wednesday. What is Wednesday? Today's the 26th, so Wednesday will be last day of the month on the 31st. Yeah, we got several. We have a full show for you here. We got some long-range shooting stuff. We have some penetration results of a high-powered rifle. Let's see, what else do I have here? Got quite a few things for you next Wednesday. Anyway, there's a video here that y'all should watch. Easy enough to look up. Just do a search for "Black Man Wants to Know Why Black Lives Matter Isn't Helping in Louisiana with the Flood." This was a few days ago. But, you know, it's refreshing to see that we get some of these people have, I don't know, no matter how I say it, I'm going to get accused of something. But anyway, it's refreshing to see that we have black guys and gals that are willing to stand up and get out in a public medium of some kind, YouTube, Facebook, and tell these people what idiots they are. Because there are some out there that are tired of the, I think it's safe to say the majority, are making a few of them look very, very bad when it's just not true. This Black Lives Matter bunch is, now the Black Lives Matter, definitely not the majority. That probably didn't sound right there a while ago. But there's a lot of them, and a lot of them are falling in line with these people. And it's got to be terribly frustrating, disappointing, disheartening, sad, infuriating maybe to some of them, to see what these people are doing. The Black Lives Matter crowd and ones like them are the ones that want everything. Not only do they want you to buy the bread and butter it for them, they want you to feed it to them. And they're not going to be happy. And when that's done, they'll find something else that they're not happy about. And then there's other ones that just want to work and do their job and go home to their families and go to church and be just productive, normal citizens, as it should be. So why are these guys, this Black Lives Matter bunch, why is it that they, when, it had to have been quite a blow for him. We talked last week about the black cop that shot the black guy, and that's the reason the black people don't like all the white people. Okay, now that made perfect sense, didn't it? So now with all these, all this stuff going on down Louisiana with the floods and everything, and all, in the area this was, there's quite absolutely the majority are black. So where are Black Lives Matter? Why aren't they in there helping like the, I don't know if you read the story about the Mormon church, all the time and money that they put in there. Trump has, I don't remember what the dollar amount was, but he had a semi full of supplies and stuff going down. Canceled his campaign drill. Didn't take any press with him. He didn't take and say, hey, look at me, I'm being a humanitarian. He just dropped everything and left and went and got a truck full of stuff. When, of course, somebody like Donald Trump can't move without somebody finding out. But whatever happened as far as reporting on that was not his doings. But Black Lives Matter, they're still off somewhere burning something up, turning over cars and hurting people and stuff. So there this guy, he's a black guy. Guy in the video, he wants to know where they are, why they're not helping the black people in need. He said, I haven't seen one Black Lives Matter boat. Not one new Black Panthers boat. So, I thought it was an awesome story anyway. I guess we've seen, well, do I want to do this yet? We've got time. I'll do this. This is, you know, we've talked numerous times about Venezuela over the last month or so here. And we talked last week about them taking animals out of the zoo and eating them because there ain't nothing else to eat. It was just a matter of time before that happened. And you know, believe me, that I'm sure that has given a lot of people food for thought. No pun intended there. It was an accident. But about, you know, zoos are now, I think, going to be probably targeted much earlier in the process, earlier in the scenario than they would have been thought before. This is the first time I've ever heard of something like this happening. It may have, but I have never heard anything about it. So that may happen quite earlier now. But anyway, the thing is, another story just came out 3 days ago, 4 or 5 days ago, that Venezuela is disarming its citizens and confiscated guns are being crushed in public square. He said they're going to bring disarmament and peace. Alrighty then, the police still out there practicing. They said they have old rusty shotguns, homemade pistols, and some newer weapons. Other guns were crushed in truck-mounted presses. Some members of the public watched, although more danced to a nearby sound system playing salsa music. Said they crushed and chopped up nearly 2,000 shotguns and pistols in a Caracas city square on, this would have been a week ago Wednesday, as the new interior minister relaunched a long-stalled gun control campaign in one of the world's most crime-ridden countries. So this tells you what happens under socialist rule again. Guns are confiscated and destroyed. You know, the citizens, the subjects, are, well, they're not made to watch it, but most of them do anyway, in despair. And I can bet you that if Hillary gets in there, and it's looking more and more like she might, I am scared to death. It is a damn shame that we have so many people that are not going to vote. Shame on you. Trump may not be the like I said, this is not like any other election in history, in this country anyway. To not vote, or to vote for somebody else this time, not only, I mean, you're, well, don't. Just go vote. Vote for Trump. He has a small enough chance of winning, I think, now anyway, even though he's, this is not going to be fair and square. No matter how many of us vote, they still may doctor it to a point where it's not possible for him to win. But we don't need to help with that by sitting on our dumb butts and not voting. If she gets in there, we will be experiencing stuff very similar to this, and very soon. She has every intention of doing this to us. So, I said gangs there often get their weapons from the police, either by stealing them or buying them from corrupt officers. So the crime problem there is not maybe not all the gang's fault, maybe some of it's cops' fault. With inflation of 185% last year and a currency collapse, police salaries are falling far behind rising prices. This thing in Venezuela, how long has this been going on? It's been going on for 2 or 3 or 4 years, hasn't it? I mean, not enough to make the news like it does now, but it's been going on for quite a while. I'm not sure exactly how long, but at any rate, it's really gotten the worst here in the last, probably, what, 90 days? Something like that. So, but anyway, that's what we got to look forward to. Bad as I hate to say it. There's, no, I want to save that one. Okay, here we go. This is happening, and I'm real curious to see how this is going to turn out. But this is happening with the Sioux Indians. There's, let's see, this is happening. This is in North Dakota. Some of you have seen it on Facebook. The Indians there, the Sioux, are saying no, not just no, but hell no, you are not going to cut across our reservation with that pipeline. Which I'm not sure. I agree with them and what they want to do, and I stand with them. It's their land. If they don't want it, they don't have to have a reason. Although I don't understand completely why they don't want it. You know, there would be fair prices paid for land damage and going to come across people's property and stuff. I don't know what the what their problem with this is exactly. However, I don't care. If they don't want it, then they shouldn't have to have it. And if they're going to stand up against these people, then we should stand with them. And they say there's Indians from Wyoming and Oklahoma and several other places around there that are around up in the from the Midwest to the northern part of the western United States. Yeah, one guy says here, they say there's more than 1,500 protesters. This was a few days ago. More than 1,500 protesters arrived at the border of the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation. For 2 years, we've been holding them off, waiting for you to come. Now you're here with us. This is what the guy named John Eagle Sr. told a crowd of protesters there. Pipeline will carry more than 500,000 barrels of oil per day from North Dakota to Illinois. It's crossing under the Missouri River, just upstream of the reservation. The concern over a potential spill prompted people like, you know, and there's some reason, I guess, to be concerned about a spill. But, man, there's pipelines all over. And what people don't understand is crude oil is not good in water. Crude oil on land is not nearly as bad. As a matter of fact, I can show you places in Wyoming where there was some bad leaks up there. And, you know, you clean up the what you can and you disc it under and the grass and things grow just as well or better there and without doing anything else to it. Crude oil is not processed oil. It's not the same as what you buy at Walmart in the little plastic cans. Crude oil has very different properties than refined oil. So yeah, I can see what their concern would be. I can't say that I think it's founded. I don't think it's that big a concern, especially being a new pipeline. Even if there was a spill, it would be years and years down the line. And with modern technology and the way they put these pipelines together and all that stuff and the inspections they have on them, man, the chances of any type of a spill of any significance at all is pretty slim. And I'd say the chances of a catastrophic failure are pretty much nil unless it's sabotaged by someone. Which is not out of the question. But anyway, they are the thing up there is getting a little bit more tense. I saw lots of weapons out there in the hands of the protesters, lots of weapons. And I can't say, I would like to think that some of these people have gotten some of their ideas, some of their spine maybe from what's been going on in Oregon and Bundy Ranch and every place else over the last couple of years. You know, there hasn't been a whole lot of protesting over this type of thing on any of the reservations for, you know, the last time I remember anything of any significance was when Russell Means and who was the other guy? Dennis Banks with the AIM movement, the American Indian Movement. That was the last time I remember seeing anything that was very, very significant. Of course, they were all labeled criminals and everything right off the bat. And you know, there's a whole... One of them's dead. I don't remember which one it is. Either Russell Means or Dennis Banks. One or the other, I think, is dead. I believe the other one is still alive, although I'm not positive, because that was a pretty good while ago. That was 40 years ago. I remember distinctly when that happened. I was in New Mexico. As a matter of fact, I was in Farmington when they came to Farmington, and there'd been some ruckus. I won't go into all the details of it. I know all the details of it, but there was some stuff going on with some kids out there that were rolling some of these Indians. Well, they went beyond the rolling and actually dismembered a few of them and a couple of them. And anyway, AIM come down there and set up camp up on the bluffs, up on the mesa there, directly south of Farmington. And it got pretty western around there for a little while. All the businesses closed, Main Street was shut down. That was the last time that I recall of anything really newsworthy of any type of an uprising or any type of a protest by any of the Indian tribes out here. But I'm anxious to see how this goes, and I really hope that these people will stand their ground. I hope that they, I hope there's some Lavois in there. I hope there's some Ammon Bundys in the bunch that will, you know, Ammon Two Feathers or whatever. And I hope that they stand their ground, and I hope they win. I hope they get this thing turned around, and I hope they keep the intruders, I will call them, off their land and keep their land pristine and beautiful. That is some of God's most beautiful country up in that part of the world. And you know, I wish them all the luck in the world. I hope they get through that just fine. All right, I was going to tell you something that happened to us. You know, we've got, I'll tell you what we do have coming up, and I hope that everyone, be assured, let me check and see which day this is. Let me look, not which day this is. This is Friday the 26th. The day, Tuesday, okay, this will work out okay. Tuesday is the 30th, which will be the day of the primary election here in several towns and counties in Arizona. I guess, I suppose it's statewide, I don't know. I'm sure it is. But our constitutional sheriff election, that's the one I'm watching the closest. Even though he's not actually in my county, I have done everything that I can possibly do to help them and get elected. Because, you know, those folks say, well, it's just one county or it's just a county. Well, it may be. But, you know, if we have a good constitutional, good, firm, standing constitutional sheriff in one county, don't anybody think that it will eventually have some effect on the maybe not the sheriff, but the voters of the neighboring counties when they see what's going on? Hey, I wish I lived over there. I wish we had a sheriff like that one. And if it goes from one county to the next, and from that county to another one, why should we not expect that at some point this may have somewhat of an impact on the whole state? And if we get one state, why don't the people in the next state say, hey, we ought to move to that state? Look at the sheriff. Look what's going on over there. And then we get another state. And then another. Well, that's going a little too far. I don't think we'll have much much danger of I'm still a firm believer. I am really anxious to see the optimists still say that they don't see anything happening for 5 years, and they call themselves pessimists. It's gonna happen soon. It's gonna happen in 5 years. Well, I wish I could be that optimistic. But I'll have to say, I think it's highly unlikely that we're going to stretch this out over another 5 years. I think that there'll be some notable changes, some notable events happening between November and January. If Hillary does, in fact, get in there, it will be a matter of months. I doubt if it'll be a whole nother year, but it could be as little as weeks before the public knows of her intentions and what's going on, and people realize... I found out there's a family of some people that I know, and how this happens, I have no idea. It just floors me that there are people that are so at opposite ends of the spectrum here when it comes to politics. It's like I've never understood how a good, I'll call him a good card-carrying Baptist, can marry a Catholic and be happy. You know, where do you go to church? Why? So you guys don't go to church together? There's many couples like that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying I don't see how it works. I don't see how a Mormon could marry an atheist and then make it work. I just don't understand. But I guess love overcomes a whole bunch of that kind of stuff, and then people get through it, but it's a mystery to me anyway. So at any rate, this family, they've got one, a couple of people in the family that are voting for Hillary, and everybody else is voting for Trump. I mean, Trump is those are your two choices. I don't get it. Well, these we're getting pretty close to closing this out here and going to Liberty Lounge. And I want to end this. Let me see. Let me check my clock here. Yeah, we can end it. I'm going to end this with an amazing display of respect and patriotism. Remember the guy we talked about him here on the show about what was it? Says 6 months ago, maybe. I don't have any idea. It's been a while. But a guy it hasn't been that long. 3 or 4 months, maybe. But a guy, he was a black guy, and he didn't appear to be a citizen. He was not a citizen of the United States. But he stopped what he was doing. He was in a competition at the time, and I don't remember what it was, if it was a ball game or what it was. But anyway, he stopped what he was doing and turned and faced the music right while a reporter was interviewing him. And he just ignored her. He just turned and faced the music, and they were playing the national anthem, the America's national anthem. And out of show of respect, he stopped, and I thought that was one of the most awesome things I'd ever seen in my life. And here's another one that's kind of similar here. There's a second lieutenant in the United States Army Reserves with the 655th Transportation Company. and a graduate of Ole Miss. He's also an Olympic athlete. Last Monday, let's see, let me look at the date here. Yeah, last Monday, in front of a crowd of thousands, Kendricks took home the bronze medal in the pole vault for the United States. But during one of his practice runs, the national anthem came over the loudspeakers, and Sam did just what any patriot would do. There's a neat video up there. He's running towards his whatever you call the pole that you jump over. He's running with his pole in hand, and he's just about to stab it in the thing and jump, and he slams on the brakes, dropped the pole to the ground, snapped to attention, faced the music as the national anthem was played. Now, if something like that doesn't bring tears to your eyes, boy, that gets to me. The video is so cool. And I don't know, it's one of these embedded videos, and I'm not sure how to post that in the chat room for you. But it's not hard to look up. Just put, just do pole vault bronze medalist, or second lieutenant Sam Kendricks, K-E-N-D-R-I-C-K-S. You'll find it. It won't be our city. Aborts practice vault when the American national anthem plays. And boy, I mean, he come to a screeching halt. He was very sharp about it. He just running just as hard as he can go, and here's the urge, slams on the brakes and snaps sharply to attention. It was awesome. It was just great. So. All right. Well, we've got Liberty Lounge coming up here shortly. I hope you guys stay with us. Don't forget our class coming up in Montreal. Wow. Moriarty, New Mexico. That's out east of Albuquerque a little ways, about 30-some miles. And we'll be out there with a personal defense handgun 3. This is one of those, we've done it twice, three times now. This will be the third time that we've allowed people to take the first 2 days of the class and to actually sign up for the first 2 days and not take the third. Or let's say you have somebody that is timid, not quite sure of themselves, not quite sure that they want to take the whole enchilada, and but they're willing to take the first couple of days. And then after that, if they're saying, okay, well, that was fun, I think I'll go ahead and continue and get the other day in the night shoot. So that's what we're allowing people to do, is trying to encourage people that are a little less confident maybe to be able to come in and take the first 2 days of the class. And if they're done, they're done. That's fine. I've no problem with that. But if they want to go ahead and continue, then for an additional fee, they'll be allowed to take the remainder of the class. This will be the third time we've done it. It's worked out very well. We did it up in Washington in June, and we did it in Santa Fe County this month, and we're going to do it again. It seems to be working out very well, so that's going to be probably a new standard, you know, most of the time. We may even look at doing it with some of the other classes. So that's what we got going on. All right. Have a wonderful weekend, and I'll be back here momentarily with Liberty Lounge. And I sure do appreciate y'all hanging with me here for a little while. Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all. Goodbye. says it all.